Saga Egmont presents Looking for Lucy by Julie Houston, read by Emma Swan. Prologue. The continuous drone of a large, hysterical blue bottle repeatedly crashing against the glass of the closed window joined forces with the low moans of the girl until she was unsure which sound was hers and which was that of the insect.
Come on, love, there's a good girl. Push.
The midwife, rotund and sweating slightly in the oppressive heat of the delivery room, urged the girl to work harder. This one was taking forever, she thought in exasperation, and, glancing up at the delivery room clock, tuttered irritably, wiping the film of sweat from her forehead with the back of her hand. She had a date in a couple of hours and still had to wash her hair and change the sheets on her bed. A frisson of excitement shot through her as she pictured herself naked except for the new scarlet basque she'd treated herself to in anticipation of just this event. Impatient now, the midwife grabbed the girl's arms in an attempt to heave her up the bed and into a sitting position that might hasten the birth. The girl moaned again, louder this time as a contraction tightened her abdomen and pain coursed through her whole body. As the pain drained away once more, she turned to the midwife, her face flushed with the exertion of the labour.
"I can't do this anymore, Debbie."
The girl grasped the cool metal of the bedhead behind her, her own head thrashing from side to side on the plain white sweat-soaked pillow.
"There's no point anyway, is there? Is there?"
"Now stop that," the older woman snapped. And then, feeling an unexpected wave of pity for the silly young thing, relented and spoke kindly.
"Come on, love, a few more pushes for me and we'll soon be home and dry."
The girl began to shout, as much in frustration at the ignominy of the position she found herself in, as from the tidal wave of pain and fear that was overwhelming her once more. She pressed her chin down onto her chest, grunting with pain as the child's head appeared between her legs. The midwife expertly manoeuvred the baby's crown, positioning the head until, with one final push, the child slithered wetly into her waiting hands.
"One down, one to go."
The midwife was jolly now, secure in the knowledge that she would be in time for her date.
"Come on, sweetie, don't give up now. Just a bit more hard work and you'll be through with all this."
15 minutes later, accompanied by a commotion from the floor above, the second baby was delivered. Cutting the cord deftly, the midwife wrapped it in a waiting towel and placed it next to its siblings in the double perspex cot.
"Now, don't start getting attached,"
Debbie warned as the girl struggled to see the babies.
"Far better if you have nothing to do with them. Honestly, love, it's the only way."
"But, Debbie, I can't let them go. They're mine. Can't you say something? Tell them I'll look after them. Tell someone, whoever it is."
I know, Debbie soothed, glancing at the clock once more as she interrupted the girl's rising hysteria. "But you know as well as I do, you have to let them go. Yes? Best to let them go."
Chapter 1. When Peter Broadbent asked me, as I served his treacle sponge with custard, freshly made tinned creme anglaise, none of your packet stuff, if I'd ever contemplated being a camp follower, I told him my hairdresser Charles was gay and that I'd followed him over the years from salon to salon, and did that count? Peter had frowned slightly, his Adam's apple bulging as the hot syrup hit the roof of his mouth, before putting down his spoon and clearing his throat. "I know you're really busy, Clementine, but I think you might enjoy a day out with me at Roddington Castle next Sunday. If I may quote General Douglas MacArthur there, in my dreams I hear the crash of guns, the rattle of musketry, and the strange mournful mutter of the battlefield."
"Right, okay."
I looked down at Peter, at the white paper napkin strategically placed across his beige V-neck sweater, and wondered what the hell he was talking about. He'd been a Saturday lunchtime regular.